Does he deserve the glory on this morning?
Yes, he does.
Does he deserve the glory?
Yes.
Amen. He deserves all the glory and honor.
Yes, yes, yes.
Thank each of you being here today.
Yes.
For giving us the opportunity to be in the house of the Lord and worship him together. Amen.
Amen.
What an awesome God. Pray with me if you would. Amen. Father, we thank you today for giving us this opportunity to come to your house. We thank you, God, because without you, we wouldn't be totally different people than we are now.
Yes.
I thank you, God, for not being so high-minded as to have forgotten who I was and who you are turning me into. I thank you, God, for your grace and for your mercy, for your loving kindness shown toward me and toward the others in this room. We honor you today because of your goodness toward each of us. We just ask, God, that in some way, one of our songs, something that we give today, the joy of our fellowship together, something would touch you, bless you. On today, Father, I ask in the name of your Son, Jesus, that you would send the word to us with power, power to change, that we might be changed or might be given the ability to change others. We thank you, God, for what you're going to do through us. We look forward to being used by you for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Won't y'all give God some praise this morning? Amen.
Thank you. Yes, God. Thank you. Yes.
You may be seated in the house of the Lord. Amen. What an awesome day this is. Amen. All right. Well, grab your Bibles. Let's jump into the Word. Hallelujah. Last week, even up to Wednesday, we were dealing with, we had gotten to chapter 3 in the book of Acts. And we're dealing with chapter 3. Hallelujah. We're looking for power to create change. Power to create change. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
That's our theme throughout all of this, is power to create change. Power to create change. It's the power of the Holy Spirit that gave them the power to change the things around them. And I'm praying that you desire that power as well, to create change. So go back through the notes. I guess where we'll start to just summarize from last week. From Wednesday, yeah, from last week. God, I thank you. Glory to your name. There he is. Thank you, God. My, my, my. Thank you for the presence of your Holy Spirit. In chapter 3, we see James and John, or excuse me, Peter and John, coming to the temple. They had recently received the power of the Holy Spirit. Many were saved at the preaching of Peter. And now they're going to the temple. I believe the scripture says it was the ninth hour of the day, or 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And there was a man who remains unnamed, as far as I could see, who was over 40 years old and had been lame from the very time he was born. From the time he came out of his mother's womb, he was unable to walk. And I don't know at what point in his life they had placed him at the door or the gate of the temple, but they had been dropping him off there, knowing that those that came to the temple usually came to bring their offerings, they came to worship God, and most who came to the temple came with the right mind. You know, they came with the mind of helping and all. So they would drop him at the temple daily, where he would ask alms for food or for clothes or for money or some type of something, whatever gift they would give, he sat outside the temple asking. And obviously it was a fruitful place because they continued to bring him back, and the scriptures declared to us that they knew who he was. They had seen him there for years. And as you stop and think about it, I'm almost certain there were a couple of groups of people. There was the group who was tired of seeing him. You know, man, he's there every time we come to the temple, just out there banging all the time. And then there's the group who made it their business to take a little something extra along with them so that when they got to the temple, they would have something to give him. It doesn't say that, but as I think about people, you always have some who have the spirit that is willing to help others. Yes. And then you have those that are selfish in nature. You know, they might help you grudgingly, begrudgingly one time, but after that, they find no joy in it. You become a nuisance to them. Which at the temple would be hard to understand because these people were coming to worship God. And as much as we know, God is supposed to be love. And so they had probably, I don't know, I'm just surmising in my mind that at some point they stopped praying for him to be healed, or maybe they never prayed for him to be healed. They just saw him and thought it was terrible. Oh, such a terrible thing. And were making ways for him because of his condition, but never really wanted to see his condition changed. Or I don't want to say that. Maybe didn't believe his condition could change. Y'all know it's some stuff that we all shudder at. They say my uncle got cancer. And everybody gets scared because you know cancer, take him right on out of here. Strange thing is that the scriptures declare to us, is there anything too hard for God? So these people day after day met the needs of this man through giving to him, helping him. And on that day in particular, Peter and John, who I'm sure had been to the temple on several other occasions, but this specific time, they come to the temple and the man asks them for alms. He says to them, you know, do you have something? Peter says, look on us, as in look at us, look at our appearance. And he says, silver and gold we don't have. But such as we have, we will give unto you. Which led me Wednesday to think about the fact that I do have money, and sometimes I find that it is just really enough to get by. There's not a whole lot of extra, but when there's a need, God supplies for the need. But most times, we believe God to do the things that we need him to do, and he does that for us. So Peter says, look on us. We don't have silver or gold, but what we do have, we'll give you. And it's amazing because I don't know what the man felt in his heart hearing the words, silver and gold, have we none? Because, you know, sometimes you're anticipating, expecting something. And then a person looks at you and says, oh, I don't have that. And I was thinking about how disappointed. Glory. The man may have been. You know, because y'all know how fast our minds operate, right? How emotionally he could have gone from, got somebody today. And then get a no. Not realizing that what was about to happen to him, something like he had never experienced ever in his life. Wow. To be disappointed in this, only to find yourself leaping and shouting and praising God just a moment later. Amen. And y'all know sometimes we get so attached to money, we miss the blessings God's trying to give us. We miss what God is trying to do. We chase the almighty dollar, but we stop chasing God. And the Bible says that we should seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all these things shall be added to us. And I know that there are times that you know, I know how much it costs to get the thing that I want, and I might get my mind fixed on what it takes to get that thing, forgetting that God could give it to me in a whole different way if I just trusted Him. Y'all getting it? So, what we see happen is the man's feet and ankle bones are strengthened after Paul reaches down. He and John lift the man up. And when he finds that he is able to stand, he begins to leap and to dance and to worship God, to give God praise. Wow. You know, the scripture says that He will give you the desire of your heart. Maybe down in his heart, the one thing he had wanted for a long time, just get up off that thing and be able to just give God some praise. And he gets up and he leaps and he dances and he gives God praise, not understanding that his praise was going to cause a controversy in the city. I need y'all to get this, because we're saying, God, I want power to create change. And yet I've seen a couple of scriptures, if you include Christ, where he did some things that made everybody uncomfortable, even though he changed some lives. One person in particular that I'll talk about this morning is the man of the Gadarenes. He was in the temple, or in the tombs. He was naked and he was out of his mind, and they had chained him up, they say, with fetters and chains, and he's crying and moaning and walking through the tombs, and he is out of his mind, and Jesus shows up, and those spirits that are hindering him say, Jesus of Nazareth, what have we to do with you? Why? Because they know something is about to change. Woo! Glory to God. He walks up and tells him, he says, what is your name? He addresses the demons inside the man. He says, our name is Legion, for we are many. Wow. And Jesus says, okay, you're going to have to come out. He says, but it's just, don't cast us out into the deep. The abyss is how it is translated. Don't cast us out into nothingness. They had now become used to riding around inside of flesh, and they're about to become powerless in the air. And Jesus says, okay. And what he does is he releases them, but confines them in the bodies of hogs. And although it is against Jewish custom to eat pork and to eat certain unclean things, there are these sheep, or excuse me, swine herders there, and he releases the legion, which is 4,600 to 6,400 devils. That's a lot of issues. What you say? That's a lot of issues. And he releases those devils. And they go into the hogs, and the hogs then in turn turn and run and jump off of the cliff and drown themselves in the water. They don't want any parts of what's going on inside them. Now, what you have to see is in one of the scriptures, it talks about the economic ramifications of the actions that Jesus had just done. All of the swine farmers got together and were like, hey man, you just messed, that's our business right there. And they run Jesus out of town, but when you look at the man, it says that he was sitting, fully clothed, and in his right mind. He wasn't walking around talking trash, he wasn't walking around cussing people out, he wasn't walking around cutting himself with stones. He wasn't chained anymore. He was sitting there in his right mind, and he said, Jesus, I'd love to follow you. And Jesus says, no, I think you should stay here and begin to tell others what has happened to you. Amen. Y'all ain't hearing what I'm saying. Amen. And so that man the old folks used to say, was clothed in his right mind, or clothed in his right mind. Actually, he was dressed, and his mind was better. Mm-hmm. That's the power to create change. Mm-hmm. When you have something that can turn a person's life around, that is the power to create change. When we make the changes in people through the Holy Ghost, there are going to be some economic changes for some people. Let's just say you go out and you pray and three crackheads or three meth users get their lives together. Well, the drug dealer suddenly lost three customers. You're not going to be on the top of his list. Because when those addicts walk by him and he says to them, hey, don't you want a little bag? They're going to be like, nah, my life been changed. What you mean your life been changed? See, what had happened was, I was walking by these believers when suddenly these believers began to talk about Jesus Christ. And they told me my life could change, and they began to preach the word, and I believed the word of God and in the name of Jesus. And suddenly my life began to change. I lost the taste for the very thing you're offering me. I want to meet that preacher. Suddenly, they come by asking you, hey, you're going to need to leave these folks alone because you are affecting my bottom line. Understand that the power of the Holy Spirit is supposed to change things. A person that's been in church for 40 years and still got the same hang up have not committed themselves to the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm just telling you, because he can change you the day he saves you.
Right.
Y'all not hearing what I'm saying? He can take the taste of alcohol away. He can stop you from smoking marijuana. He can stop you from chasing women. He can stop you from doing all of those things if your mind is made up when he comes on scene. But it's up to you. And so you have some people who are in the blood bank, bleeding to death, but never asked for the blood. You have people who are starving to death inside a food bank, but you would say to yourself, that's craziness. At least they grab a donut. No. Some people are too proud or too stupid, one or the other, to receive the help that they can receive when they're in the place where the help is. Y'all listening to me? So as we look at this man in the book of Acts chapter 3, before we go into 4, this fella has been begging for his money, for his good things for 40, let's say 30 years. Maybe they didn't send him out there until he was 9 or 10. But he is above 40 years old now, and he's still at the temple begging. When Peter and John show up, and he asked them for something good. And their question answers his question. Their statement, excuse me, answers this question. Silver and gold have we none, but such as we have, we give unto you. And the man gets up and he's leaping and dancing and celebrating. He's glorifying God for the great things that have happened to him. Go to verse 16 of chapter 3 of Acts. Because I want to bring this one major point back out. And it has, I guess I have to go on and deal with it, because I want to say it sometimes and I have a hard time putting it out there. But my biggest struggle over the years was all the attention given to Jesus. I just got to tell y'all the truth and shame the devil. See, I knew that Jesus was my salvation, that through his life, I was spared from the oncoming punishment that was given to those whose lives were in sin and had never made amends with God. I understood that. I understood that he was the Son of God. But then when I would hear so many people talking about Jesus, it almost felt like they were forgetting about God, the Daddy. And so it made me feel odd, because the Old Testament scripture said that thou shalt have no other God before me. And I felt like, you know, it seemed like they're worshiping Jesus more than they're worshiping the Father. And yet the scripture declares that if you don't respect him, then you have not respected the Father. And you have to get to a place where you understand that if somebody sends you a representative, an ambassador, a person to come in their stead, they stand in place for them. And so I had to embrace myself personally how powerful it is for us as well as for Jesus to stand in the world as representatives of God in this day and age. Because it's not only about Jesus being accepted. It is also about us being accepted. Is anybody hearing me? Glory to God. And so here we stand. The Bible calls us ambassadors. And an ambassador does not go to another country with his own money or with his own agenda. He goes to the other country as a representative of the one who appointed him ambassador and does the work there that that person has ordered him or allowed him to do as a representative of the country that he goes to represent. Meaning, therefore, we are ambassadors of heaven. We are ambassadors of God, but how then can you be an ambassador of someone you don't know? Or a place that you've not studied? Are y'all hearing what I'm saying? And so we have to put more time into our learning who it is that's sending us out there so that we can be the ambassadors that he would want us to be in this age. Because right now, we don't need to send an evangelist to another country to do nothing. We need evangelists to come here because we got enough going on here never to send nobody anywhere else.
Amen.
Our country is full of mess. And we want to go and evangelize Africa. We want to go and evangelize all these other places. And from my last trip to Africa, I just got to tell you, they got way more fire than we do over here. They love God in a way that you don't see very often over here. I mean, they love God. I mean, it's all about God, all day about God for them. And you might say, well, their financial conditions make it so that that's all they can think about is God. Well, your financial condition should make it that that's all you think about, because most of us in this room ain't but about two paychecks away from being broke anyway.
Amen.
And the comfort that you feel with that little bit of money in the bank, you ought to know how crazy it seems. One visit to the hospital can empty your bank account. One visit. And after your bank account's empty, then the repo man show up at your house if you have failed to pay for the car you enjoyed to drive. Because when your money gone, then you can't make the payments, and suddenly you find out how much stuff don't belong to you. And then you will cry out for the Lord. Y'all ain't hearing what I'm saying to you. This God that we serve has sent to us his Son. He has entrusted, the Father entrusted the earth to mankind, left, sent his Son back as representative of himself to see how we were doing with that which he left.
Yes.
And like in the parable that Jesus tells, they killed the Son, thinking that they can keep it for themselves. Wow. Not my lesson this morning, but it is a lesson. Verse 16 says, and his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him his perfect soundness in the presence of you all. Who's he talking about? Jesus. This man has believed in the name of Jesus. Let's go now to verse 25, and we're going to go into chapter 4, which is our study for today. 25 says, and Peter is explaining, because people start asking questions about how the man was healed and what has happened and all that, and there's this big uproar, and they are upset at the temple because of what's going on. And 25, he's finishing, and he says, ye are the children of the prophets, and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, Shahadash, and in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. Unto you first, God, having raised up his son, sent him to bless you in turning away every one of you from his iniquities. Verse 1 says in chapter 4, and as they spake unto the people, the priests, the captain of the temple, and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. Now, let me declare this word to you out of the basic English. Chapter 4, verse 1 in the basic English Bible says, and while they were talking to the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came up to them, being troubled greatly, because they were teaching the people and preaching Jesus as an example of the coming back from the dead. Verse 3, and they took them and put them in prison till morning, for it was now evening. Stop there. The Sadducees were terrible people. They were the disciples of Zadok, and as his disciples, they did not believe in any resurrection at all. Although the Pharisees did, although the Jews did, this particular set, the Sadducees, did not believe that there was a resurrection. The mere fact that they were at the temple preaching the resurrection had them upset. And then the fact that they would preach it through the very man that they had killed was a double slam. And they are so angry that they throw Peter and John in jail for the night. Now, I got to share something with you and a point you might make down. Not everybody's going to be happy, because you're changing the world with the power of the Holy Spirit. Not everybody's going to be happy. There'll be the guy, we call him Brownwood. He always could get Yellow Chair to do whatever he needed. Now, she wasn't his woman, but she was his woman. Y'all get what I'm saying. But Sister Yellow Chair got her life together, and he showed up, and she wasn't about all that. Ain't going to enjoy the fact that you done shut some stuff down, that God done changed some things. I want you to understand, if you make dramatic changes in people's lives by sharing with them the power of the Holy Ghost, you need to know, might not always be a celebration. The person will celebrate, but those whom were benefited by their sinfulness will not celebrate. Will not celebrate. You know, imagine if you would, let's just say a lady who was on drugs, or a man had been on drugs for 20 years and was on drugs, say, 10 years prior to that, and every spare dollar that they got, they gave to the drug man until they got their lives right. Once Jesus come into their life, do you understand how much money he cut off from them? So understand that when you change the world, you change the world. And I'm challenging you to desire the power to change the world. Y'all get it? So as we go back to number 4, chapter 4, you'll see that they were church leaders. They were powerful men, and they were upset. Now, in the morning. Verse 4. But a number of those who gave hearing to the word had faith. Now, I'm reading out of the basic Bible version, all right? But that's still verse number 4. And there were now above 5,000. So, just the fact that Peter and John are teaching, they're converting people by the power of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. And on the day after, the rulers and those in authority and the scribes came together in Jerusalem. And Annas, the high priest, was there, and Caiaphas, and John, and Alexander. and all the relations of the high priest. Verse 7. Then sending for Peter and John, they said, by what power and in whose name have you done this? Stop. Now, if you understand how things were, it was hostile back there. And there was a lot of Roman influence back there. And any public discourse or discourse that changed things needed to be authorized through certain people. And if you begin to talk about certain things in certain ways that would change the current thought or theology or methodology, there had to be someone who authorized you to speak on these things. And in this particular situation, they're about to tell them who told them they could speak. So in verse 5, is it, or 6?
We're
in 8. Or, excuse me, way down there. 8. Then Peter, being full of the Holy Spirit, said to them, O you rulers of the people and men of authority. Wow. If we are questioned today about a good work done to a man who was ill as to how he has been made well, take note. All of you and all of the people of Israel, that in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you put to death on the cross, whom God gave back from the dead, even through him is this man now before you completely well. He is the stone which the builders had no use for, but which has been made the chief stone of the building, and in no other is there salvation, for there is no other name under heaven given among men through which we may have salvation. 13. Now when they saw that Peter and John were without fear. Now in your Bible it says they were bold. This boldness is saying that they were not afraid of who they were talking to. Another thing that the Holy Spirit will give you, boldness. I need y'all to get that. You won't have to master down to any leadership. You stand up because of the authority that's been given to you by the one who gave you the work to do. Is anybody hearing what I'm saying? Okay? So they looked at them and they said, they don't have any fear. 13 again. They were without fear, though they were men, get this, though they were men of no education or learning. So they are saying they're speaking to us with boldness, even though they haven't been to school, they haven't been highly educated, which comes to my next point. You serving Jesus doesn't have to do anything with you having any kind of degree. It's about you having a relationship with the Lord.
Amen.
That's what it's about. If you're going to have a degree, let it be in your Bible. You get in there and you study your word and you make sure you know your word. Because what you see in Peter and in John is when they stand up, to me, they sound like Bible scholars. When they begin to share the word of God with these religious leaders, they know word for word, line for line, what Jesus has done, what they have done, and why they're guilty. And because they are so endued by the Holy Spirit, they are speaking exactly what God wants spoken. And they cut to the heart those that are listening to them.
Amen.
Y'all not hearing what I'm saying?
Amen.
So, what I want you to understand is don't think because you don't have any formal education, God can't use you. He'll put in you that which makes you effective in the kingdom of God. Y'all hear me? I believe the scripture goes like this, that he uses the weak things of the world and the strange things of the world, the peculiar things, to confound the wise. He doesn't use the strong things, the best things, and all of that. He uses the things that men can find no honor or glory in, men cannot exalt, so that he himself can be exalted. He used a donkey to talk to a prophet. He used a man that had a stutter to lead people out of Egypt. He always uses somebody who is not the best qualified. Men with habits and women with situations and people with issues are the ones that he uses to glorify himself in the world. So what you say disqualifies you to be used by the Lord is actually the very thing that qualifies you to serve the Lord. 14, am I right? Oh, okay. Men of no education or learning, and they were greatly surprised. And they took note of them that they had been with Jesus. And seeing that the man who had made well, all these had been made well, was there with them, they were not able to say anything against it. See, when you do the work speaks for itself. Verse 15. But when they had given them orders to go out of the Sanhedrin, they had a discussion among themselves, saying, what are we to do with these men? For certainly it is clear to all who are living in Jerusalem that a most important sign has been done by them. And it is impossible to say that it is not so. But so that I may not go further among the people, let us put them in fear of punishment if they say anything in the future in this name. Now, what gets me is that they know God has done something. Doesn't that get you? They're looking at what has taken place. We know something's happened. We can't deny that something's happened, but we ain't wanting them to do nothing else. A lot of that has to do with because they're scared they're going to lose their positions of authority. Because if God starts doing stuff through them, I'm going to lose my position of preeminence. I heard this thing, I was reading somewhere, it was in the studies of the Stoic, and it said, he said, I don't often exalt men as high as others. He said, because I measure them without their pedestal. What he's saying is I don't put men on pedestals because I know the weakness of men. I know that men have flaws in them, and where other people go wrong is they put them up on pedestals as if they are gods themselves when in fact they're mere men. He said, I don't measure them with a pedestal. I measure each of them without one. Amen. What am I trying to say to you is that as you begin to do the things you do, you'll be surprised how many people are afraid when you do something they ain't been able to do in years. When somebody's life has changed and they ain't been able to do nothing about, when somebody's situation has turned around and they don't know how in the world you made it happen, how God is doing that with you, and it puts a bad shine on them, you'll be surprised. I hadn't said that word in a long time. What people will do. Because of jealousy and fear will make people even fight against what they see God is doing. Because instead of embracing God and being a part of what he's doing, they're afraid that they're going to lose a position in what they are doing. But all of us has a purpose in God.
Amen.
Excuse me. And they sent for them and gave them orders not to make statements or to give teaching in the name of Jesus. Verse 19. But Peter and John, in answer, said to them, It is for you to say, if it is right in the eyes of God to give attention to you more than to God. For it is not possible for us to keep from saying what we have seen and have knowledge of. And when we have said more sharp words to them, they let them go.
Wow.
When they had said more sharp words to them, they let them go. All right. Not seeing what punishment they might give them. because of the people. For all the men were giving praise to God for what had taken place. For the man on whom the act of power was done was more than 40 years old. 23. And when they had been made free, they came back to their friends and gave an account of all the things which the chief priests and the authorities had said to them. And hearing it, they all with one mind made prayer to God and said, O Lord, maker of heaven and earth, and the sea and all things in them, who was said by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of our father David, your servant, why are the nations so violently moved? And why are the thoughts of the people so foolish? The kings of the earth are lifted up. The rulers came together against the Lord and against the Christ. For truly, in this town, against your holy servant, Jesus, who was marked out by you as Christ, Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, came together to do that which had been fixed before by your hand and your purpose. And now, Lord, take note of their cruel words and give your servants power to be preachers of your word without fear. Stop there. The Bible says that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. Half the people in Montezuma don't even have a clue who I am. But I've been in court more than the average person for stuff that somebody knew my name, for things. And you have to decide, am I going to keep doing what the Lord said, or am I going to be moved by what people do? And you will be challenged, because sometimes you just get tired of fighting. But you got to let the Lord fight your battles. You've got to give the Lord an opportunity to stand up for you. You cannot be afraid to open your mouth or to live your life the way that God is telling you to live for His glory. And I guarantee you that not everybody's going to be satisfied with the way you look through the actions that you do for the Lord. But I can't change my heart. And I'm hoping y'all won't change yours. We've got to desire the power to create change. And yeah, we casted our votes, and we did all the things at the election and all that, and yet and still, it's not no handful of people up there that's going to make the change for us. Mm-hmm. When we can spiritually do grassroots right here at home. You don't need a law. I think he says that love, where perfect love is, there's no need for law. And so if we start loving people the way God said to love them and then start teaching people to love the way He taught us to love, then you don't have to legislate. That's the L word I'm looking for. Legislate the things that should be natural for man to do. And so I'm challenging you. The kind of world that God wants us to have, the Bible says, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done where? As it is in heaven. All right? Then it goes on to the basic things. Give us this day our daily bread, and, you know, forgive us our trespasses. But thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. And that's in our hands. And I can't back away from that and tell you some other greater person going to come than you, because we just learned the other day, I believe it's John 14:12, says, you believe in me, the works that I do, shall you do also. And greater works than these shall you do. And I asked the question Wednesday night, how many of you see yourselves being greater than Christ? And it was about that quiet too. And yet that was his prophecy upon each of us. That I haven't done nothing. You're going to be greater than me because I go to the Father. Yes. I'm going to send you back power that will allow you to do more than I have ever done. Greater works than these shall you do because I go to the Father.
So I'm challenging you, God, the very power that you promised through your son to send back to us, send it back. Give me the right heart so that I can receive that power and do the work for you in the earth. Because it's getting dark out there. It really is. You know? And I've had guns all my life, you know, raised up around guns. But I never felt like I had to ride with one in the car. And now I feel like I gotta ride with one in the car. Just to make sure I get back to the house. Y'all know what I'm saying? I ain't getting ready to scuffle in the streets and all that stuff. It's like, man, it shouldn't be that way. And that is only because of the darkness that is in the world right now. It used to be if somebody knocked on your window, they weren't trying to carjack you. You dropped your wallet outside the car, they wouldn't even wait for you to drive off. They'd grab your wallet, knock on the door, give it back to you. Now, they're waiting for you to ride off. Or they're trying to get up in the car with you to see what you got. And the only way that changes is if we do our job. The reason why they're worried about this whole prayer out of school and all these other things, because the church failed in the past. All them ones that came before us wouldn't open their mouth when it was time to open their mouths. And we're in the position we're in right now because they didn't open their mouths, and now it's our turn to open our mouths and to stand up for what the Bible says, which is going to be inconvenient for some people because we done let Pandora out the box. And so if you don't want to fight, then... But Jesus said, I ain't come to bring peace. A lot of people think he did, but that's not what the scripture says. He said, I ain't come to bring peace. I came to bring a sword. He said, there's going to be aught between mothers and fathers and sisters and brothers and all that, because he know when you stand for him, there's going to be some people in disagreement with you. Houses will be divided. Things will happen when you start standing for righteousness, because some are tender-hearted towards sin.
Yes.
And we got to get to the place where we're not tender-hearted towards sin. He said, to cleave to that which is to abhor that which is evil and to cleave to that which is good. To abhor that which is evil and cleave to that which is good. And instead of that, today, our entertainment, for entertainment, the things that we watch on TV. Shoot them in the head. Get that head shot, partner. You know, we really are dark on the inside, man. Because I believe one of the commandments is, thou shalt not kill. But we almost justify and glorify it now. And it's just the way this world is. And if we don't make the change now, when will the change be made? You know? Thinking, I never thought about Martin Luther King in any of my preaching ever. And I just thought about him talking about, I may not get there with you. He understood some things. I started a ball rolling, I might not can get out of the way of it, you know? He said he saw it, might not get there. It may have been spiritual in nature, but his preaching was to the people. And I'm just telling you, if you do what Christ said, it's not real peaceful, but God will bless you. Because he did declare over in Matthew 29:19, I can't remember. I believe it's 1929, he says, you know, no man has given up houses or land or this or that or that for my sake and the gospels, who will not receive 100-fold more in this life and then eternal life. So I thank God for the promise through his son Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Tell me what verse I was on, please, if you remember. How much? I'll do 30. Teach us, yes, there we go, 29. And give your servants power to be preachers of your word without fear. While your hand is stretched out to do the works of mercy, so that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. And when their prayer was ended, the place where they were was violently moved. And they became full of the Holy Ghost. All became full of the Holy Spirit, preaching the word of God without fear. And all those who were of the faith
were one in heart and soul. Say the word unity.
Unity.
All right. None of them said that any of the things which he had was his property only, but they had all things in common. And with great power, the apostles gave witness of the coming back of the Lord Jesus from the dead. And grace was on them all, and no one among them was in need, for everyone who had land or houses, exchanging them for money, took the price of them and put it at the feet of the apostles for distribution to everyone as he had need. Wow. And Joseph, who was given by apostles, and Joseph, who was given by the apostles the name Barnabas, the sense of which is son of comfort, a Levite and a man of Cyprus by birth, having a field, got money for it, and put the money at the feet of the apostles. Verses 34 into chapter 5 are going to be our lesson for Wednesday night. Power to preach the word. Everywhere I looked in the word, those guys, when affected, all of them knew the word. I was surprised that Stephen, when we get up to there, chapter 6 or 7, he was a deacon. And Stephen was supposed to be feeding the widows. And the Jews came up and said something. And he stands up and he preaches a message so strong it got him killed up. I mean, but the message was on point. And so my challenge to you, get in your word. Let the word get in you. And ask the Lord to fill you with his Holy Spirit. Because to create the change that needs to take place, we need power to create that change. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
I want you to stand with me. I want to pray with all of you, and then we're going to call our presider back. You might not be ready for the season that the church is approaching. But we're going to go there anyway. I've been building buildings for 15 years. And before I came down here, I was preaching at things and places and seeing things happen that I'd never seen before. And I want to see it again because I know it's possible. And I believe that God is able. And so, the challenge is going to come. Turn your plate down. Fast a little. Pray some more. Read your word. If you study the scripture, it said that in those times, there wasn't a lot of sadness. There was great joy in the city. I want y'all to hear me. Because someone say, man, some things are going to have to change in my life. Yeah. Things will have to change in some of our lives. But it's worth it. It's worth it. Father God, I pray for my brothers and sisters in this room right now. Father, it said that those that had the same mind, they came together in unity. And I'm asking God that you give us one mind and one accord. That we'll care enough about, not all of Georgia, not about the world. Let's just say Montezuma first. Give us enough care about our own individual neighborhoods so that, God, we go back and we change our neighborhoods, which then in turn creates change in Montezuma. If by chance somebody in our neighborhood leaves the neighborhood and goes to another city, then through that person, change may be also created somewhere else. So we want to tell you thank you in advance for the ability to create change in and out of our home city here. That God, by the power of your Holy Ghost, you will give us what to say and how to say. Sometimes we're going to find ourselves saying things we did not expect to say and praying for people we didn't expect to pray for and believing for things we had not been believing for. And so I want to tell you thank you in advance, God, for glorifying yourself in us. But in Luke chapter 10, we are to reflect on what Jesus said to the apostles because they were excited that all the devils were subject to them. And Jesus said, don't be excited
about that, because I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. But rejoice, because your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. So God, we pray that we get excited about being accepted in heaven. That we ourselves know that we're in your book and we are on our way to you. We ask, God, that you give us the power to bring heaven to earth. And that as we see these things taking place, that we don't begin to talk about the power I got, the power that I can do. But we give all glory back to you. I want to tell you thank you for using us. But we understand that it's your power that's going to work in us. It's your power that's going to work through us. And yes, we know that we will be rewarded for the work we do for you. But we will not steal your glory. We thank you, God, for these opportunities. So I want to pray one last prayer with you. First is a prayer of repentance. Father God, if there's anything in my life that dissatisfies you, anything that would hinder the Spirit from being able to dwell with me, you said in 1 Corinthians 6:19 that my body was the temple of the Holy Spirit. And he who defiled, oh, I believe that's 3:16, he who defiled the temple. My body is the Spirit, the temple of the Holy Spirit. And so I'm asking God that you help me to keep this temple clean. So that there is no way for me to make the Spirit, your Spirit, uncomfortable dwelling inside me. That I do not grieve the Holy Spirit. But that I allow him to move through me for your glory in the name of Jesus. I ask God that you forgive even that thing, the worst thing that I have done. God, I may not even understand how bad it was or the ramifications, but I'm asking for your forgiveness right now, right here today. That you would forgive me, God, for whosoever lives have been affected by my actions in the name of Jesus. Help me to be the man you need me to be or the woman you need me to be here in this present age. So that when I stand before you, I will hear the words, well done, my good and faithful servant. God, I want to tell you thank you for sending now the power of your Holy Spirit. As I believe that in the name of Jesus, that by Jesus, in the name of Jesus, all things are made possible. As I begin to embrace that, God, I ask that you would allow your Holy Spirit to fall in this place, God. God, whether it is on today or next Sunday or Wednesday, that when I walk in here and my heart is right and things are right and we're on one accord, ha, glory to your name, God. That your Holy Spirit begin to drop in this place, God. That we are filled to overflowing with your Holy Ghost. And not just for a dance, not just for a song, God. But we have the power to create change when we leave this place. That we go out of this temple, God, restored and empowered to go and to change something in the earth. So I thank you now. We're going to thank you for it in advance in the name of Jesus. We're going to thank you for the power. The power.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Glory to your name, God.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We thank you today, God,
yes, God,
for the power of your Holy Spirit.
Hallelujah. Yes, God. Thank you, Jesus.
Making itself manifest in our life.
Yes.
Thank you, Jesus.
God, we're going to find ourselves, it's going to be easy to stop and pray for people. It's going to be easy to stop and pray for people. People are going to get tired of seeing us come. Baby, let's pray about it. But they're going to start seeing things happen in their lives as we begin to pray, God. We're going to be praying on our jobs. We're going to be praying at the mall. We're going to be praying at the restaurant. We're going to pray, God. We're going to be eating something. We're going to be down eating, enjoying what we're doing when you speak to us. And we're not going to have a problem dropping the fork and going to do what you say to do, God. We just believe tonight, God, that you're going to do great things.
Yes.
In the name of Jesus. We are expecting
great things
in the name of Jesus. We thank you now for what you're going to do in each of us, for the world, and for the kingdom of God. We thank you now. In Jesus' name, amen.